So the first portion of chapter 9 we actually covered back when we first started Numbers because it was a chronological order thing, and we had covered the Passover there, which in which they celebrated, and sadly enough Israel wouldn't celebrate again Passover in quite the same way until the captivity was over. So tonight, when we look at Numbers, chapter 9 here, verse 15 through 23, it's kind of an exciting portion of Scripture because as they would have been instructed by the Lord to set up the tabernacle, they were working in obedience. And when we progress in obedience, we find that the presence of the Lord, not only is He present with us, but we also know that He's present with us. And I think that's the key, is when we're working, when we're doing the things in obedience to the Lord, when as He commands us in this, I think it's in this section of Scripture here, you'll find the Lord commanded 7 times. And it's an important facet of this Scripture, is that as we hear the Lord's command to do, as we hear His voice in the Scripture, as we hear His voice within us, right? As I was prior to service, I was talking to Holly, and we were talking about some things, and just conversing back and forth, and Sharon, haven't seen her in a while, and they've been busy, you know, with the foster kids and whatnot, and so, you know, she was just sharing with me about something, and she said, but I'm not sure, you know, I can't line it up with Scripture. And of course we don't base our, feelings necessarily base our actions on our feelings. We certainly want to hear from the Lord, you know, but certainly what she was explaining to me wasn't bad or anything, right? So, and the Lord does speak to our hearts, right? He gives us that prick. He gives us that nudge sometimes, and don't you look around and you go, was that me, Lord, or was that you? Right? We kind of get in that mentality. At least I do. Sometimes I go, Lord, did I really hear from you, or was that just me again? You know? But just be confident that the Lord is within us, you know, that His Spirit is within us. And what makes us take the right turn rather than the left turn? You know, if it was up to me, right, I get to the stop sign and I've got a 50-50 chance of making the correct or the wrong. Guess what? I've got a 100% chance of making the wrong, right, if I follow my own ways. What makes us turn the right way, I guess, you know, other than the Lord, you know? Certainly, that's a good thing. But so in Exodus chapter 13, we see the first appearance of what we're going to talk here about, the cloud or the fire, the pillar of fire. Exodus 13, verse 20 through 22 reads this way. It says, so they took their journey from Succoth and the camp of Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they as to go by day and night. He did not take a pillar of cloud by day or a pillar of fire by night from before the people. You know, this fire here is really the glory of the Lord, or we've heard it said the Shekinah glory was there for the purpose of directing them. It was to direct them. It was to show them the path in which they would go. So here, here we stumble upon verse 15 here. It says, "Now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, from evening until morning. It was about the tabernacle like the appearance of fire." So as soon as the tabernacle there was raised, the cloud was above it. It covered it, right? And in a sense, it was confirmation that the Lord was in it. And I don't know about you, but I need that cloud. I need to understand that God is in it. And so He gives us tokens for good, doesn't He? He reminds us. Hey, you ever get walking with the Lord sometimes, and you're thinking you're walking with the Lord, and then all of a sudden it dawns on you, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not walking where the Lord wants me to walk. And as soon as you question that, of course, me and Karen, we've been walking through some things lately, right, with leaving World Kitchen and whatnot. And there's been many moments where I said, "Lord, is this really what you want me to do?" You know. And He always takes me back to my scripture that He's given me, His Word. And then He gives me often a token for good. You know, and so one of the tokens this past week was, you know, when I gave my letter of resignation, they came back to me shortly after that and said, "Look, at you know, the plant manager would like you to stay a while. Could you give us a little bit more time?" You know, and I said, "I'll let you know." So I came back to him and I'd already committed, right? I already committed to Glenn that I would start on the 19th, and I felt like that commitment was important. Like, you know, if you say you're going to be there, kind of thing. So I hemmed and hawed a little bit, went back to him and said, "You got until the 16th. It's an extra week. You know, you can do with what me." I was going to take that week and actually do some fixing up of the house and try to get things in order as we look to perhaps sell it. You know, it's something we need to do just to live within our means. And the Lord has given us a lot of peace on that. And so I said, you know, you can have a week. And I was kind of bummed about that in a sense because I thought, oh boy, I get a week's vacation home and I can get that stuff done. And, you know, I don't like to see things hanging too long. So I want to get some things done while the weather's nice. But then we got thinking about, okay, this job doesn't have any insurance and we need to purchase insurance. And, you know, that can give you a little bit of fright, you know. In a sense. And so as we were to the pastor's conference, Karen ran into a lady up there, and she's the secretary for the church up there. And Kathy says, "Karen, you know, we work with this guy often. His name is such and such. And so why don't you give him a call? And he does all our insurance, you know. He's led us through a lot of this. And he really wants to help pastors and ministry people, you know, that are in the ministry and just to make the ends meet kind of thing." Okay, so I call him and he says to me, "Well, I'll come down." And I said, okay. And so he comes down last Friday. It was cool, you know, when you got a brother in the Lord and you don't really know him very well, you know him. You know, it's kind of neat. It was neat fellowshipping with him over the phone, through text. You know, we went back and forth. And I said, "Hey, you wanna stay for supper? You wanna have supper with us?" So he said, "Sure." I said, "You want a place to stay?" He said, "No, I'm all set for the night." And so he came down, and we went through all the insurance stuff, and you know, and what's crazy about it all is, for the token of good, the Lord had me work that week because he knew that would pay for the insurance for the rest of the year. And that, you know, and it came out almost to the dollar. You know, it was, it's crazy how the Lord, when you start to go, Lord, you know, what are we doing? You know, what are we doing on this? And are we in it or shouldn't we be in it? And so forth. And He knows how we're feeling. He knows how we're feeling. He comforts us with those tokens of goods. But a long story short, the reason why, you know, not that it has anything to do with this, but interesting is that he was a missionary. He was a missionary for the Ukraine. And he was a businessman, and he goes over from January to through August, and he foots his whole bill because he's a businessman. And so he does work over here on his off times so he can support and go over and minister. And he teaches in one of the colleges over there, and he also starts churches. He's planted 7 churches while he's been over there, in the time that he's been over there. And so we said, well, where are you staying tonight? Because we were curious. He said, see that pickup truck? That's where I'm staying. I got a fridge in there. I got a mattress. That's where I'm staying. So he went up on Harris Hill and spent the night. So, interesting guy. Neat brother in the Lord. You could tell, like, when he walked in, you know, it was kind of neat. I was telling Bob. He walks in. Jonathan happens to be standing right there, and he speaks Russian to him. And Jonathan looked at him like, what are you saying? You know, it was so funny. So funny. Guy knew 7 languages. 7 languages. What a blessing. But see, the Lord gives that token, doesn't he? Gives us that token of good. When we think, Lord, are you in it? And for the Israelites here, they raised up the tabernacle, and the Lord came down as a cloud, you know, there above them. And just to say, don't worry, I've got you covered in a sense. I'm over the top of you. And God is over the top for sure. But they followed the instructions of the Lord. I mean, they followed the instructions of the Lord to the T of building the tabernacle. Right? And He wouldn't forsake them. He wouldn't forsake them into the wilderness. You know, and so when we're having these wilderness trials and stuff, just remember God's Spirit is with us. He is with us. So it was always the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. So it covered the tabernacle and the children of Israel all the time. It wasn't just during the day. It was maybe at night, it was maybe a little bit more apparent, right? Because the fire that loomed over the top of them. But it's also important to know, even though it wasn't maybe as obvious, God is with us, even during the day. You know? Even during the good times, He's with us. And He's also with us during the tough times, the dark times. And we all have those dark times. And it shows us here, too, that He is with us all the time. There's a continuance of communion with the Lord. You know, where else do we have to run than the Lord? We get to run to the Lord. We get to commune with the Lord. We get to fellowship with the Lord. All the time. There's no limitations. Right? Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after the children of Israel would journey, and in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. There was seemingly an exact science here, really, to it. You know, Lord, you raise up the cloud, and we follow the cloud, and when you stop, we stop, and when you go, we go. But it was a sign. It was a sign to Israel to move. It was a sign that they would stop for a while, but it would lift, and they would travel with the Lord. But in the same manner, when the Lord was settled on them, they stayed. I think that's important because I think too often we think we have to move. And sometimes the Lord just wants us to stay. You know? I don't know. I think some, and you see this a lot of times in young Christians, where they get saved and all of a sudden they think that they have to go on all these mission trips. They have to fly around the world and just tell Jesus, tell people about Jesus. It's a great inspiration to do that, right? To be inspired in such a way, but sometimes God just says, I want you to sit here for a bit. You know, sometimes He wants to just spend time with you. And we're so frantically running around in ministry, trying to do the Lord's work. You know. And God just wants us to settle. It's important. Yes, it's important to move when God says move. But it's also equally important that we stay where He says stay. Verse 18, at the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey, and at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped. So again, in both instances, right, the people looked to God for their direction, whether they stay or whether they go. We often look for direction for the Lord, right, to go, and we should look in the same note whether we stay. How long do we stay? You know, sometimes they would stay there a day. Sometimes it would be months and years. You know, so it depends, you know, on which, when God speaks to us, you know, then we should listen and obey. It's about following God's commandment to us. But whether you stayed or you went, there was an expectation here that God was going to move. That God was going to move. Sometimes I think the church needs that expectation. We need expectation that God's going to move. He's going to move in our midst. He's going to move through us. You know, He's going to use us to move. Right? And Israel didn't just sit there and think, woe is me, I've got to stay here. But they were ready to move. But they were okay to stay. You know? Isn't it good to be in that comfort where you're like, I am content, Lord, in staying here. But I can't wait for you to move me. You know, but to be ready. And how do we get ready other than spending time with the Lord? We just need to spend time with the Lord. And be attentive, you know. Okay, Lord, you know, speaking to the Lord, you know, communing with the Lord. Enough in a sense to be attentive to His voice. You know, I heard one man put it is like if you know somebody and you talk, I know that today we get out of this habit of calling somebody on the phone. Unless it's in dire need, I mean, gee, you know, don't ever call anybody, just text. And I'm probably as bad as anybody with it, right? And but isn't it true that if you talk to somebody, you get to know their voice, you get to understand their character, you know? So when we're attentive in discovering what the will of God is, He'll show us. You know, there's been many a times where I've searched Scripture and I've specifically wanted answers, and the Lord has always been faithful in showing me exactly how to move. And I'm not saying that because I'm special. He loves us the same. He positions us differently. He puts us in different locations, different vocations. But He loves us the same. I think He wants to commune. You know, we don't need a, you know, that's why we don't need a priest in order to communicate with God. We just need His Spirit within us. And then we need to be attentive to discover His will for our lives. Verse 19, even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not journey. They, even though that it continued longer, and it gives you a sense here, is that this nation, this the children here of Israel were patiently waiting, even though it was long. They would wait, and they would wait for Him. You know, sometimes don't we feel like the Lord's taking His sweet old time? And He's like, Lord, haven't I asked You for this? Haven't I asked You? You know, even with getting the answer to my prayer, just about leaving World Kitchen, and the Lord would give me that scripture I shared a couple weeks ago in 1 Kings 19, and it was, He gave me that 6 months before I understood it. You know? And it was important that I waited for understanding, for wisdom, for that. Because I could have done some stupid things in the flesh. Right? Because I knew that He wanted me to do something different. You know, I could have told Karen, I'm going to be a skydiving coach. And I've never skydived before. And that probably wouldn't end up real good, you know. Especially if the coach had to show them first. It would have ended up good for Karen, but she would have got the life insurance policy, right? But sometimes we do need to have that contentment where God would place us. And I think of Paul's contentment, right, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, verse 10 through 13, it says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regarding to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, but to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So through whatever situation God's got you in, whatever position He's got you in, to be content and to know that He'll see us through and that we can do all things through Him, right? It's all possible through Christ who strengthens me. And to give Him the honor through that, right? That gives God the honor. In our contentment, we can say, "But God, You are the strength in our lives." That shows that we're content. Verse 20, "So it was when the cloud was above the tabernacle a few days, according to the command of the Lord, they would remain encamped, and according to the command of the Lord, they would journey." Just an emphasis here, right? An emphasis in the importance, I think, to wait upon the Lord patiently and constantly waiting on Him. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart." Wait, I say, on the Lord. He'll strengthen our heart. He'll strengthen our faith. Wait on Him. Psalm 37:7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret, do not worry because of Him who prospers in His ways, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass." You know, when we look around and we look at other people, our contentment flies away, right? It can so easily fly away. Why can't I have that Porsche? You know, why can't I have that big house? Lord, why does the enemy always have the most fun? And then all of a sudden, we're the biggest complainers. And our contentment is gone, and no longer are we waiting upon the Lord, waiting for His answers. We got to be careful, you know, that we don't complain, become uncontent, and then distance ourselves really from the Lord. Verse 21, "So it was when the cloud remained only from evening until morning, when the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they would journey, whether by day or by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up, they would journey." You know, they didn't wait for, you know, they didn't get to morning, or they didn't get halfway through the night and say, "We're quitting now." You know, or they didn't get toward evening and it started getting dusk and they said, "You know, it's going to be nightfall pretty soon. We should quit." They waited for the Lord to stop. And then they quit. Even though it looked dark, perhaps no hope in sight, they continued on their way. You know, and I think we're challenged by that. We're challenged by that. As a small church, you know, we're challenged to keep moving as the Lord tells us to move. Well, what can a small church do? How can we impact the community? We're just small and it's getting dark out. God encourages us to keep going no matter what the circumstances is. It's not based on circumstances. It's not based on what we see. It's not based on what we hear. It's based on the command of the Lord. Move. Stop. Stay. Or go, you know. It's important. Whether it's day or night, whether it's raining or sunny, right? We need to keep moving, or we need to stay, based on the command of the Lord. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year, that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain encamped and not journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. So the time had no bearing on the move, whether they moved or whether they stayed. And at the command of the Lord, they remained encamped, and at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. So it was all about what? It was all about the command of the Lord. It was about what the Lord showed them to do. And they did it. And so for us, you know, one of the questions that we have is, Lord, do you want me to stay? And if He wants you to stay, He's in it. If He wants you to go, He's in it. You know? So whether the circumstances look a little bleak, you know, maybe uncertain, you know, Bob asked me, "So how does it feel?" I'm glad we don't base our movements on feelings and circumstances. I said to Bob, It's exciting and scary at the same time. Right? Only scary to the flesh. The spirit loves it. The spirit loves to walk with the Lord. Only because He's made me a new man. But we need the Lord's direction. You know, Jeremiah 10:23, Jeremiah says this, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." Well, that's how it should be, right? It's not in us. We're just vessels. We're steered by the Lord because we're His. James 4, verses 13 through 17 says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow or what is your life. It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that.' But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." You know, so if we hear from the Lord and we don't do it, it's sin. You know? And we've all been there, right? "Lord, I know I should have said something about you in that moment to them people. And you've walked away. And you didn't move." Right? We've all done that. And fortunately, as His children, He expects us then to do what 1 John 1:9 says, and that is confess our sins unto Him, right? Because He is faithful. He is faithful to forgive us. When to move or determine the will of God, we have three sources. And I'll give you some scripture here, but I won't read through the scripture that we need to trust in. Number one is Holy Spirit. Right, we have that prick of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 27, and also Acts 16, 6 through 7. We also have the Word, right? Light unto our path, Psalm 119, 105. And then we have Jesus. The one that intercedes for us. Intercedes to the Father. We can trust that through the Holy Spirit and through His Word and through the intercession of Jesus for us that we can determine the will of God and that we can move towards it. Romans 8, 28 through 29. But here we have the pillar of fire here. It was brought to Israel for revelation, right? It was to reveal the way they should go. It was light to them. It is light to the believer. The Spirit of God is light to us. You know, it shines light on our path. It directs us. But Exodus 14, verses 19 through 20 says that darkness comes upon our enemies. They see darkness. It says that the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and a darkness to the one and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all night. It was really a protection, that pillar of fire. Even though it was light to Israel, it was darkness to Egypt and their enemies. And it was a protection for them. It was a protection. Not only did it tell them, communicate to them when to move or when to stay, but it also protected them. Isn't that the command of the Lord? The command of the Lord protects us, doesn't it? When the Lord says that we shouldn't commit adultery, there's some good reasons. Scientifically, there's some good reasons why you shouldn't do that. Right? Why you shouldn't steal. Why you shouldn't lie. We can come up with the consequences to those actions, why God gives us them commands. Because He loves us. Because they're healthy for us. Spiritually and physically. Right? He doesn't want to see us go through pain. We should obey His commands. So just as the pillar of fire would protect Israel from their enemies, so the Spirit of God protects us from our enemy. As the Lord would command, certainly there's a protection there. We're going to go through verse 10 here of chapter 10. It says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregation, for directing the movement of the camps. When they blow both of them, all the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But if you blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall gather to you. When you sound the advance, the camps that lie on the east side shall then begin their journey. When you sound the advance the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall begin their journey. You shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. And when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generation. When you go to war in the land against the enemies that oppress you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Also, in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and you shall be a memorial for you. They shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God." So here is the two trumpets that were formed out of hammered silver. Their senses here had to be respondent and recognize the moving of the Lord. I love this because it really throws away the excuses. whether we should move or whether we should stay. Certainly their eyes could see the moving pillar, but just in case they missed that, the trumpets would blow and sound and alert them and cause them to go into action. Two trumpet blows were used to call the people. And I like this, where there was one trumpet for the leaders. I'm wondering if the reason for that isn't because the leaders only really needed one trumpet. In a sense, they didn't need two. They didn't need to be alerted twice. They were ready. You know, they were ready for action. You know, I think as leaders and even in the church, we should be ready for action. We might have to bring the people around. We might have to tell them twice. Well, shame on us if the Lord has to tell us twice. We should have ears that are listening and be observant. We be attentive to the voice of God. He would alert each tribe when to move. And there was absolutely no excuses. God had used them senses in order to assure them that they were told. If they didn't move, it was on their own accord. It wasn't because the Lord didn't give them opportunities. We also see in Numbers chapter 31, we will see them go to battle, and they would use this trumpet to prepare for battle. Matter of fact, it even talks about advances in here. And in verse 9 there, it says, "And you go to war," well, right there, "in your land against the enemies who oppose you. Then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord." It's almost like a prayer blast, you know. It's a blast of prayer to the Lord to say, "Lord, help us with this battle." You know, I think we need to use that more often when we're in them battles, and whether it's the world getting after us or the real enemy, that we say, "Lord, help us," as we're getting anxious about things and dealings with the world, right? Help us, Lord. Give them a prayer blast. That's the blast. Help. You know, that's probably one of the most helpful prayers for yourself. Help, Lord. I'm not able, Lord. Just to call upon His name. And of course, even today, as Israel celebrates their feasts, they will use the trumpets or the shofar, right, to blow, to welcome in the feast, to welcome the people to the feast, and so forth. And someday, very soon, we'll hear the trumpets, right, Bob? Is that what we're waiting for? We'll hear the trumpet sound, and the Lord will be coming back, and we'll meet Him in the cloud. Right? What an awesome day that's going to be. However, prior to this, we're called to serve the Lord. Right? We're called to serve the Lord. To continue in what He's called us to. To move when He says move. To stay when He says stay. To listen to Him intently. It's good for us. The command of the Lord is good for us. It's our protection. The pillar of fire is our protection against the enemy. It's good to be aligned with God's will. It's good to desire His will. I get so excited about seeking the will of the Lord. I really do. As he's been so faithful to show us things, right? I can't wait. I'm like a child, you know. I can't wait for it again. I want to just see what the next present looks like inside, you know. But it's good to follow the command of the Lord. It's healthy for us. And it glorifies Him, right? Don't we want to honor Him and just please Him in our... It's not about us, is it? It's about Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord. We ask You, Father, to just cultivate Your Word in our hearts, Lord. That You would encourage us through this Word, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that You would have Your place, Lord, in our life. That we'd follow Your commands. That we'd do what You say, Lord. And we would honor You, Lord. So we just praise You for this evening. Thank You, Lord, that we got to come and just worship You, Lord, and put aside all the things that are happening around us, Lord, and just worship You. We just love You and we praise You. Thank You, Lord, again for Your word. In Jesus' name, amen.